Dear brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. As a pastor, the Easter acclamation is one of the best things I get to say to and with God's people. For 6 weeks of Lent, we buried our Alleluias. We then journeyed through Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and finally, we get to Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, the pinnacle of the church year, the day where we celebrate and remember the first Easter, the day that put everything in place, the day that changed everything, the day where Christ accomplished our salvation and defeated sin, death, and Satan. Christ rose from the dead, and he still is the risen one. Life is full of seasonal, relational, and liturgical rhythms, full of natural ups and downs, ebbs and flows. And Easter is certainly a high point in the year, perhaps the highest moment of the year. But after the mountaintop experience of Easter, we slide back down to the normal, regular routine and grind of life. It's neither good nor bad, it's just the way it is. We excitedly anticipate the arrival of Easter. We gather with friends and family for meals and photos and Easter egg hunts. We gather in God's house to once again hear the story of redemption, to receive the gospel of Jesus, to sing Easter songs and hymns, to participate in Jesus' death and resurrection in our worship services. Easter Sunday is a mountaintop experience. But then, Monday arrives. Many of us are able to take Easter Monday off and have another day of rest and recreation, but if not Monday, Tuesday still comes. And then Wednesday, then Thursday, and on and on. Life returns to its routine. It's the same year after year. For over 2,000 years, the Christian church has been celebrating Easter Sunday, only to be followed by Easter Monday. Life keeps moving on. The world keeps moving on. Day after day, week after week, year after year. And here we are, on this second Sunday of Easter in 2022. Back into our routines, hitting the daily grind of work, school, and family life. Christ is certainly still risen, but the Easter acclamation just doesn't have the same excitement the week after Easter, or 2 weeks later, or 20 weeks later. Christ is risen. And even though Jesus has risen from the dead, we still live in a world plagued with sin. Sin and its effects surround us. This is painfully obvious to all of us. When I look out at you, at our congregation, I see the cancer, the surgeries, the chronic illnesses, the heartache, the anxiety and depression, the disappointments and frustrations, the broken families, the loved ones that are no longer with us, and the struggles with sin. The implications of the resurrection persist into today. Sin, death, and Satan have been defeated. But sin, death, and Satan and all their effects still persist into today. There's a tension of realities here. And St. John speaks of this tension in our text from Revelation 1. John witnessed the risen Jesus with his own eyes. He heard the resurrected Christ speak to him, "Peace be with you," in that locked room. He touched our risen Lord with his own hands. He saw and believed that Christ was victorious over the grave. And he eagerly anticipated Christ's return to usher him and all Christians into the new creation. But following Jesus' ascension, the days and years and decades went on. John wrote Revelation roughly 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And think about all that he experienced in those 60 years. Think about all the tribulations he endured. By that time, all the other apostles were likely dead. There were probably not many eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus left by then. And so in Revelation 1:9, John states that he is a brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. Here he's stating that all Christians participate in tribulation and patient endurance. This is part of Christian faith and life. As Christians, we participate in both the resurrection and the tribulation and patient endurance. We're united to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Perhaps we more readily recognize the reality of tribulation than the reality of resurrection. Yet the reality of the resurrection continues on, not just on the mountaintop of Easter Sunday, but on every day of every week of every year. Christ still is and forever will be the risen one. And as his disciples, as God's people, we celebrate and participate in Christ's resurrection every day of our lives. Because the Holy Spirit has united us to Jesus' death and resurrection through our baptism, we already are new creations in Christ. And Jesus continually gives us his resurrected life through baptism, through the forgiveness of our sins, through his word, and most explicitly, through his body and blood in Holy Communion. The body and blood of Christ that we eat and drink is not just the same body and blood that was crucified on the cross. It's also the same body and blood that got up and walked out of the tomb. Christ is still risen, and we participate, in part, in his resurrection. And St. John speaks to this participation in our text from Revelation 1. Twice in this passage, John speaks of the kingdom of God. In verse 6, he speaks of Christians being made a kingdom. And in verse 9, John states that he is a brother and partner in the kingdom of Jesus. We Christians live under the kingdom of God, and therefore we participate in the reality of God's kingdom. And this means we live in both the crucifixion and resurrection of our King, Jesus. For the kingdom of God is, very briefly, the active reign and rule of God on earth in and through Jesus. The kingdom of God is not just our future in heaven someday, but it is God's reign through the gospel of Christ on earth in the present. And through his kingdom, God is bringing his rebellious creation back under his rule. And God accomplishes this through the means of grace, his word and the sacraments, found within the ministry of the church. As God's children, we've been brought under the reign of Christ through faith in him. And so we regularly participate in his kingdom through word and sacrament. Now, I love talking about the kingdom of God. It's a theological concept that's found throughout the Bible and is really fleshed out by Jesus in the Gospels, where Jesus continually speaks of the kingdom of God, especially with regard to his parables. And as a concept and reality, the kingdom of God is rich and dynamic. It's full of theological truths that are then applicable to the everyday lives of Christians. I like talking about the kingdom of God because, as a theological reality, it shapes how we as Christians view the world, live in the world, follow Jesus by faith, and treat other people. Having been brought under the reign and rule of Jesus, our lives are changed. Yes, we still live within this fallen world, but we live differently from the world around us. And furthermore, we live for its sake, to care for it, and bring Christ into the world through our vocations. Our congregation's guiding statement really is a summary of living out the kingdom of God, cultivating Christ's community through courageous discipleship and compassionate action. We are kingdom people, receiving the gifts of our risen King and doing kingdom work for our risen King. So here in Revelation, John focuses the kingdom of God in two particular ways. First, in verses 5 and 6, John speaks to the identity of those who have been brought under the reign of Jesus. The kingdom of God is made up of those who are loved by God and freed from their sins by the blood of Jesus. Those who are loved and freed have been made into a kingdom, particularly a kingdom of priests. As Christians, we are all a kingdom of priests. Now, this doesn't mean we're all priests in the sense that everyone is a pastor. Most Christians are not called to be pastors. However, all Christians are called to be priests in the sense that we are all called, no matter what our vocations are, to be God's representatives in this world. Every Christian is a priest in that we are, as members of God's kingdom, called to share God's love with the world and to love and care for others. We are all called to actively cultivate Christ's community through courageous discipleship and compassionate action. This is what it means to be a kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom who represents Christ to and for the world. Therefore, a Christian mother is a priest to her children when she cares for them and teaches them about Jesus. A Christian employee is a priest when he respects his boss and co-workers and works to the best of his ability. So in the kingdom of God, we've received both our identity and our purpose. We are those who are loved and freed by Christ and made into a kingdom of God's priestly representatives to the world. But secondly, John focuses the kingdom of God on its present reality, which I've already mentioned from verse 9. And there John calls himself a brother and partner in the tribulation, in the kingdom, and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. For those who belong to the kingdom, there is also tribulation and endurance. This is the present reality of living under the reign and rule of Christ. In this veil of tears, we will face sorrow and sin and death. But for those who belong to the kingdom, the tribulation and patient endurance is not wasted. God uses it for His good purposes for those who love Him. For in suffering, we are brought nearer to Christ, who Himself experienced sorrow and death. And in doing so, we actively live out our priestly vocation, witnessing to God's faithfulness even in the face of tribulation. For God remains with us in the tribulation, and through the patient endurance, we are made more into the likeness of our King. For Christ Himself went the way of suffering and death. He did not shy away from the hardships of human life. He patiently endured the tribulation that was set before Him. And He did this for our sake, that through His suffering we might be redeemed, forgiven, and saved. For in His own suffering and sorrow, Jesus remained obedient to God the Father and did not sin. He remained faithful to the point of death. But God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, vindicated His obedient Son and raised Him from the dead. Christ then ascended and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father in glorious splendor. And John received a vision of the glorified Christ, describing Him in verses 12 to 16 as the glorious Son of Man. And this vision of Christ that John saw struck fear into him. However, Jesus comforted John. He touched him with His right hand, with His hand that still bore the marks of His crucifixion, and told him, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is the living one, and He has authority over death and hell. Death and hell hold no power over Christ. He has defeated them because He is the living one, and He gives His victory over death and hell to all who belong to Him, to all who live in His kingdom. Although we now patiently endure the tribulations of living under Christ's rule and reign, such tribulations do not have the final word. Jesus has authority over all the tribulations that we experience. He is the living one. He has made us His kingdom through His blood. And so we confidently live under the reign of Christ. And we assuredly participate in Jesus' death and resurrection in every worship service. We stubbornly cling to the hope He gives us through all of life's rhythms. And we humbly live as the kingdom of priests He has made us to be. And we confidently proclaim Jesus' resurrection every Easter Sunday and every other day of the year. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the living one. Amen.